This is the January 16th convocation. The speaker is Dr. Delos Miles. It's the first in the series of preaching from great texts.
Thank you. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Let us turn to hymn number 165 and stand together as we sing. Our Old Testament lesson for today comes from Exodus 12, verse 11. The New Testament lesson is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. 1 Peter 1:13 is our golden text for today. But first the old and then the new. In this manner you shall eat it, your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And then from 1 Peter 1, verse 13, therefore, gird up your minds, be sober, set your hope fully upon the grace that is coming to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we pause to thank you for bringing us back into your sanctuary today to bless your name for these two passages of Holy Scripture. We thank you that Scripture is a light to our feet and a lamp to our path. And we ask that these two scriptures will especially illuminate our minds and hearts today. In the light of your word, may greater light dawn upon us and drive away the darkness which is within us. Until we ourselves more perfectly reflect the light of the world, Jesus Christ. For it is in his name that we offer our prayer with much thanksgiving for all that he has done for us and for all that he has promised to do for us. Amen. How can I love God with my mind? That's a question which ought often to be in the hearts and upon the lips of those who would please God. Has not God said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your mind"? How can I love God with my mind? Preliminary and enduring answers include such things as daily Bible reading, scripture memorization, meditation, and keeping a spiritual journal. Paul helped us toward some answers to our question when he wrote, "Bring every thought under captivity to Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. How can I love God with my mind? There is no final or definitive answer to the question, because all of us are always in process on our Abrahamic journey. And God is forever surprising us. Nevertheless, I should like to offer three answers from our golden text for today. Three answers which I might add are often neglected. How can I love God with my mind? 1 Peter 1:13 answers, therefore, gird up your minds. The King James Version translates even more accurately, gird up the loins of your mind. And that, of course, is an Oriental phrase which roughly corresponds in our modern language to the expression, roll up your sleeves. That's the reason I have chosen Exodus 12:11 for our Old Testament lesson. Peter has in mind a journey in this text, an image which fits well his description of his readers as exiles and sojourners. In fact, the Exodus motif, which looms so large throughout the Bible, may be in the background of this entire paragraph from 1 Peter. In the East, when persons got ready to take a journey or to go out to do some work, they would gather the ends of their long flowing robes together and place them underneath their belt or girdle, as it was called. And of course, that would allow them maximum freedom of movement and keep them from possibly tripping up over their robes. And that seems to be what Peter has in mind here, that the Christian life is a journey. And when we get ready to take this journey, we need to prepare ourselves mentally for that journey. He may indeed be referring to that scripture in Luke 12:35, which says, let your loins be girded and your lamps burning. But if so, he added that this was a reference to the mind, because he said, gird up the loins of your mind. And so what Peter seems to be saying to us is that there is such a thing as an integrity to our mental dress. Everywhere else in the scripture where girding up is talked about, it is referring to a physical girding. But in 1 Peter 1:13, the girding up refers to a mental dressing up. And so we need to gather all of those loose flowing thoughts, those things that may possibly trip us up, and get our minds ready for this journey toward the city of God. We wouldn't think of going out into public without dressing ourselves physically in an appropriate manner. We want to look our best and even smell our best. And the Apostle Peter is telling us here that we ought also to think rightly. It's not enough for us to be girded up physically. We need to be girded up mentally for the Christian journey. The darkest chapter of the Vietnam War was the massacre which occurred at My Lai, a little obscure hamlet in Vietnam. At My Lai, 500 to 600 unarmed civilians, including women and children, were murdered. 200 soldiers witnessed that massacre. Six of them were finally brought to trial, but only one of them, Lieutenant William Calley, was convicted. Scott Peck, a psychiatrist, investigated My Lai. He sought to ascertain why it was that this group evil occurred at My Lai. And he concluded it was because of gross intellectual laziness and pathological narcissism at every level. Dr. Peck found that the enlisted men who went off to Vietnam didn't know at all what was going on. Most of the officers didn't, certainly the junior officers didn't. And he found that even among the senior and junior officers who were aware of what was going on in Vietnam, that what they had learned, they had received from the slanted interpretations in their military schools. He even found that the civilians who were responsible for pursuing the war in Vietnam were grossly ignorant of the history of Vietnam. His final conclusion was that 95% of the people who went off to war in Vietnam from this country knew nothing about what they were doing. If for no other reason than to avoid future My Lais, Holocaust, and Jonestowns, we Christians should gird up the loins of our minds. It is so easy for us to become people of the lie, as Dr. Peck put it. And if we become people of the lie, doesn't that identify us with Satan, the father of lies? How can I love God with my mind? 1 Peter 1:13 answers, be sober. Is Peter referring to our drinking habits here? That word for sober comes from a root that has the primary meaning of abstinence from wine. Therefore, some interpreters have pounced on this text as a proof text to support total abstinence from all alcoholic beverages. I believe a strong case can be made for abstinence against alcohol from the great commandment which tells us to love God supremely. How can one love God with the whole mind if that mind is desensitized and deadened with alcohol? And yet, I do not believe that this is primarily a text for total abstinence. It could be that what Peter has in mind here is a lifestyle which is ascetic, which is properly controlled, which abstains from worldly things. And if that is the case, then when Paul wrote, "Be not conformed to this world," he was saying essentially the same thing that Peter was saying when he wrote, "Be sober." I take this phrase, "be sober," to be roughly equivalent to our phrases, "don't lose your cool," "don't blow your top." So it refers to our mental attitude. He is continuing what he had begun to say about girding up our mind. Do you want to know what sobriety is according to this text? Sobriety according to this text is Tom Kemp, a missionary doctor in Paraguay, spending 6 additional years going through the same training that he had already gone through in order to be licensed to practice medicine in that country. Can you imagine a country requiring a medical doctor to go through 6 more years of training, to take 30 examinations in Spanish? Well, that's what happened to Tom Kent. But he didn't lose his cool. He didn't let his anger get the better of him. He asked God to change his mind and to help him through that training and to help him with those examinations. So today, at the age of 47, Tom Kent is licensed to practice medicine and to fulfill his calling in the country of Paraguay. All because he was sober-minded. We have a tendency, many of us, to let our emotions control our minds instead of vice versa. And so some of us go around erupting on people like little volcanoes, spewing out that destructive lava upon the world. But if we want to love God with our minds, we will have to be sober and continually practice biblical sobriety. How can I love God with my mind? 1 Peter 1:13 answers, "Set your hope fully upon the grace that is coming to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." That's a reference to the second coming. I know it may be a bit strange that we should consider today that it's possible to love God with our minds by thinking about the second coming. With so much popular pop theology in this whole area of eschatology, with so much shallow, superficial stuff that we have. And yet, let us not misread all of that. Because the people out there in the world who hear about the second coming read it as a message of hope. There is a note of hope about that doctrine. And that may be one reason so many folk are so gullible about it.
Earlier, Peter had identified hope with the resurrection of Christ. But in this verse, he identifies hope with the return of Christ. Jesus Christ is the center of our intellectual repose. Whether we be reflecting upon his resurrection or upon his second coming, whether we be thinking about his incarnation or his crucifixion, whether we be thinking about his pre-existent state as eternal logos or about his ascension, the center of our intellectual thought in the Christian faith is Jesus Christ. And according to our text, we can gain hope by setting our minds on the blessing that is coming to us at the final unveiling of Jesus Christ as Judge and Savior of the world. That closing scene in the movie, Places in the Heart, continues to keep coming back to my mind. The closing scene is a communion service where all of the characters, bad and good, and even those who had died in the movie, are together partaking of the Lord's Supper. We can look forward to a closing scene like that if we will fix our hope fully, perfectly, completely upon the second coming of Jesus Christ. And we're never going to be able to do what Peter said in 1 Peter 3:15 about always being able to give an account for the hope that is in us unless we love God with our minds. And that includes girding them up, being sober, and reflecting upon his return. Let us pray. Father, we bless you and thank you from the depth of our hearts for this occasion of worship. Send us forth from this place determined to love you more perfectly with our minds and with our whole being. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before his presence with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen.